Oblivioni Tradite, written by Thousand Elf and read by Litra. A Star Wars prequel trilogy, Star Wars Clone Wars fanfic. Rated Gen. With additional tags for Alternate Universe Canon Divergence, Afterlife, Meddling Force Ghosts, and Ambiguous Open Ending. Summary. The history of the universe is documented by a loom, hidden beyond the world between worlds. Though it can operate by itself, sometimes the loom has a weaver's hand to guide it. After the end of Palpatine's rule, there is a new weaver ready to change history. At the center of the galaxy, accessible only through the world between worlds, there is a single room that only contains a loom. Sometimes there is a weaver in front of the loom, weaving the passage of time into a tapestry no one can see. And sometimes the loom weaves by itself. The weaver, when there is one, can meddle to a certain extent, but they must follow three basic rules, or else they will cease to exist. First, once the weaver picks up the loom, they cannot continue to weave their own story, only unmake it. Second, the weaver cannot leave their position until a story is deemed finished by the Force. Third, obey the Force. The room isn't a sentient being, but it remembers everything from the dawn of time. It knows there hasn't been a weaver since the times of the Old Republic. The last one had decided to rejoin the Force along with thousands of Jedi and Sith. A Republic and an Empire later, a new weaver sits in front of the loom, ready to unweave more than 30 years of history. This is the first time someone actively tries to unmake themselves, and the room finds itself hesitant. For the first time in its long existence, it stops the weaver's hands before it can touch the first thread. The weaver tilts their head, not in confusion, but as if they are waiting. The room thrums a question, and the Force answered.
Proceed. He has paid the price.
The room lets the weaver move again, and history unravels. He is careful with what thread he pulls from the tapestry. An opposite of real weaving, he starts with the beginning of his story. A ship crashes on Tatooine with a queen and two Jedi. There is no slave boy who dreams of stars, so they sell half of the queen's wardrobe and get the money for needed parts. The blockade around Naboo is a death trap, but a squad of brave pilots manages to penetrate its defenses and blow up the control ship. Qui-Gon Jinn dies. The weaver pauses.
That is not your story to rewrite, the Force tells him. It is destined.
The weaver dips his head and continues. Obi-Wan Kenobi is knighted for slaying a Sith, but the young man never takes on a Padawan. He trains the learners who come to him for guidance, lightsaber skills, diplomacy, flying, strategies, the Jedi Code. Soon enough, half of the initiates and Padawans have been taught by him in some way or another. Obi-Wan Kenobi becomes a legend, the Jedi who can do anything.
Your idolization of him is astounding.
The weaver's hands spasm in surprise, almost taking out a good chunk of the weave he's working on, but he doesn't turn to face the speaker.
You're not supposed to remember.
The ghost somehow gives off an air of amusement.
Your anchor point is Obi-Wan, not me. It's rather easy for a man dead for 50 years to shake off mere days of influence.
Are you here to stop me?
No. Amusement turns into sorrow, and Qui-Gon Jinn sighs.
I have no intention of becoming the Weaver. Interfering with time is too dangerous, and I won't pay the price for it. But you must know, Obi-Wan wouldn't want this.
The Weaver shakes his head and continues to pull out spools of bright golden thread from the tapestry, tearing it away from strands of blue, white, and red.
He will not remember, and he'll be alive and well.
Obi-Wan takes on Ahsoka Tano when the Togruta is 13. They soon become the best Master Padawan duo in the temple. Ahsoka quickly rises above her peers in terms of lightsaber combat and flying. Padme Amidala is almost assassinated, and the Kenobi Tano team is sent for her protection. While Padme takes Ahsoka to Naboo, Obi-Wan finds Kamino and the clone army. Luminara Unduli faces Dooku with Obi-Wan and manages to escape unscathed. The Clone War starts. Shmi dies alone in the desert.
Oh, my son, what have you done to yourself?
This time the Weaver does tear a chunk off the loom. The silvery thread floats back to its position serenely. Fixed point. Destined, forever unchanged. The Weaver trembles slightly, but doesn't turn around. He can't.
I destroyed the world. I'm trying to fix it.
By destroying yourself?
If I have to. Is there a better way to help billions of sentients?
The second speaker sighs, with much more resignation and melancholy than the first.
Then I will bear witness, whether you want it or not. I will not forget the being that brings me so much joy in life.
The Weaver nods. His trembling subsided, and he continues. Padme Amidala is an unrelenting force of nature in the Senate. She has no attachment to distract her from her duty. Obi-Wan gets both the 501st and 212th. No one questions it, and the soldiers are happy to be with a general that sees them as living beings. They adore Ahsoka, and name her Tiny Commander. Kenobi and Tano win almost every battle they are sent to. The entire galaxy knows their names and faces. They become the team. From there, the story no longer looks like what it once was.
That can't possibly work on people,
Qui-Gon opines stoutly.
Your presence in the history of our world is too great for you to just shove someone else into your position. There are battles Ahsoka and Obi-Wan shouldn't have won. Things that only you can achieve. The Jedi will notice the fractures you leave behind.
The Jedi see what they want to see, Shmi retorts, not unkindly. I told you my son has no father, a phrase that has many meanings, and you interpreted it as the answer to a prophecy.
Qui-Gon chuckled mulishly.
But I was right about it.
The Weaver finds himself fascinated by this turn of events. He never thought Obi-Wan's old master could act like this. Then Shmi turns her advance onto him.
But I have to agree with Master Jin on one point, my son. You are loved by many, respected and looked up to by others. That is not something you can replace.
The Weaver is now looking at one of the most grandiose depictions of the tapestry. The 501st and the 212th charging into battle with three Jedi at the helm. They will emerge victorious, with scuffed armor and new stories to tell. The golden thread is tangled so intrinsically with the rest of the tapestry that he can't pull it out by hand. He brings a pair of scissors to the weave. They won't miss what they don't remember. At the middle point of this story, Palpatine is unmasked by Clone Trooper Fives and Tup. The war grinds to a halt as both sides try to figure out what this means. There is no Order 66. Spread across the galaxy, Jedi are trying to bring peace and balance back to a war-torn universe. Obi-Wan knights Ahsoka. The two stand proudly in the ceremony chamber, Ahsoka now the same height as her master. On Alderaan, Queen Breha and her husband are blessed with a daughter. On Coruscant, Padme baffles the Jedi with a baby that has no father. They become great Jedi and Senator together. Luke Amidala and Leia Organa. They have the ability to reshape the entire galaxy. The world spins. The people live on. And the name Skywalker is merely a whisper in the wind, in a morning song on a moisture farm. The weaver pulls out the last of the gold thread, letting it pool around his feet like spilled water. Now his work is only to document. No further meddling is needed. The Force is silent, as it usually is. The weaver finds that he still can't leave the chair. Apparently the Force isn't done with him yet, no matter how silent it is acting.
"And now that you have fixed the world, what's next?"
Qui-Gon Jinn asks, part sarcastic and part curious.
"Do you leave and rejoin the Force?"
"No. I'll remain here until the Force sees fit to release me, or until another one comes to pick up the loom." Shmi makes a displeased sound. "And what are the requirements for that?" The weaver fiddles with his thread, seemingly afraid of meeting their gaze, even though he can't turn around and they can't walk forward to face him.
"To give up parts of oneself, often the parts that we cling to most."
Qui-Gon's soft inhale of surprise at his answer is almost unperceivable. "That's why Palpatine could never find this place, or make himself emperor, even if he did. Because he would have to give up his greed for power. And that's the only thing he would never do.
You gave up your attachment to them."
The weaver bends down to collect the snipped threads, rolling them between his fingers until the lint turns into a ball of pure light. He touches the light to the weave, and let the blue, white, and red threads absorb it.
"Apparently I can only do so in death."
Three dead people watch the living in silence. Yoda retires to a swamp. Mace fills the spot of the Grand Master of the Order, and Obi-Wan takes up Mace's. The great negotiator of the Jedi is still able to wipe the floor with new knights and run circles around senators. The clones travel in herds, either leaving Coruscant to explore a more peaceful galaxy, or staying to live within the temple. Cody and Rex stay with the Jedi, offering lessons on strategies and hand-to-hand combat. Sometimes Cody drags his former general away from his paperwork, and they go on a 3-day tour to blow up various crime syndicates. Padme is elected Chancellor after Bail Organa, finally on the path to rebuild a government that serves its people. Ahsoka takes Padawans, takes them with her to far-flung planets and crazy missions. She does barrel rolls with her freighter, and some of her Padawans throw up on the controls. Others whoop in excitement. The weaver watches on, and what can be called content blooms in his heart. For this, he can give up anything. A nebulous amount of time passes between his work's end and the next disturbance. Shmi and Qui-Gon bicker in the background,
and the Weaver watches people he once knew grow old and rejoin the Force. Then...
Anakin Skywalker! A new voice thunders. How dare you make me forget you!
The end.